Well, I do want to welcome you here this morning, and I just want to honor mothers because they're so important, and we love praying for them because they're so important. Actually, 2 weeks ago, we shared a message on prayer, on this journey that we've been on. And remember, we encourage you to get a prayer journal, and we encourage you to write in your prayer journal one big request that you're going to write down and you're going to believe God for until you believe that God answers that prayer. And by the way, we did say that God answers prayer one of three ways. We believe that God says yes. We believe that God at times says no. And we believe there's times that God says wait. And the cool thing about all those answers is they're all good if we trust that God is all-knowing and that God is good all the time. Okay? And I think we all know that we've been blessed sometime with no answers, just as much as yes answers and wait answers. So anyway, after the service that day 2 weeks ago, we had a young lady in our church. And she was with her fiance, and it's going to get better, okay? She was with her fiance, and actually, what I'm doing right now is I'm in a process of doing some premarital counseling with this couple because they're going to be getting married this summer. That's always a joy to go on a journey with these couples. We meet about seven times together for about an hour, try to talk them out of getting married. No. Just give them the warning signs, okay? But anyway, she said, hey, we were in a counseling session. She said, hey, next Sunday, my mother is going to be visiting. And I said, that's great. I want to meet your mother. So when she comes, make sure you walk up to me and introduce you to my mother. So what happened at the end of the service, what happened is she brought her mother, she brought her fiance, and she brought her fiance's mother up front, and she introduced me to her mother. Okay, we just got done talking about prayer. For some reason, I had this boldness in me to say, hey, is there anything you want me to pray for you about? And the mother was really caught off guard, this lady that was visiting. And she said, yeah, by the way, I just lost my job recently. And she was beginning to tear up a little. And I said, hey, we believe that God can do through prayer. He can make the impossible possible. Okay, so I said, let's all pray together. And we joined together, had a little prayer circle of five, and we began to pray for her mother because she was going to have a big interview this week. By the way, I'm getting to an appropriate place. I'm not just checking text messages. Okay. So here's what happened. Let me just read the text, some of these texts back and forth with her this last couple weeks. I texted her one day, and I said, hey, Taylor, did your mother get the job this week? She said, Pastor Mike, my mom heard from the position she applied for and said that there is one more interview that they will know for sure early next week. I will let you know as soon as I get another update. I said, thank you for the reminder. Remember, we need to continue to pray. Okay? So that went really cool. Friday, I'm sitting at home at 5:51, and I get this text from Taylor. It says, Pastor Mike, my mom got the position we prayed for. And here's what she said next. She said she couldn't be more excited. My text back to her is, well, let your mother know that we rejoice with her. She came back and said she truly appreciates all the prayers. She knows it made all the difference. Isn't that cool? I share that this morning because I want to encourage you. There's some people that wrote things down in their journal 2 weeks ago or on a piece of paper, and you're believing God to do something big. Amen? You're praying for something. And I want to encourage you to keep praying, keep believing, because with God, all things are possible, okay? So I want to encourage you, pray, don't give up. We need to be like that persistent widow in the scriptures where we just keep coming to the Lord because God is good, amen? So let's pray. Father, we thank you for answered prayers. We thank you for providing this job for this lady in need. And Lord, that is so cool. I pray, God, that through this all, that it would just be more than a job that she would experience. I pray through it all that you helped her through a difficult time. And God, I pray that you'd use this situation, God, to draw her closer to you, for her to realize how much you love her, how much you care for her, how much you're pulling for her. And God, I just thank you, Lord, that we can come to you, we can cast all of our cares upon you, because the scripture declares that you care for us. And we're just so thankful for that today. And God, now I just pray, God, that you would be in these next few moments, these next 20 minutes. I pray that you would just be with us. I pray for the activity and the power of God to be on display. I pray, God, that you would open ears, open hearts, and God, that there would be a demonstration of your power. Just pray for your anointing here in these moments, we pray. And everyone together said, amen. 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 Well, with the time we have remaining this morning, what I want to do is I want to focus on one word that's been on my heart for the past several weeks. And it's a word that I really believe that God wanted me to hold off on until Mother's Day morning, which is today. So what I want to do for the next handful of moments is I want to talk about one word. We're going to just talk about one simple word this morning. And the word is, everybody say that together. Kindness. Kindness. Look at your neighbor and say kindness. Kindness. How many people know you can't say that with a grumpy look? When you say kindness, you got to say it with a smile on your face. So everybody together, one, two, three. Kindness. Okay. So we're going to talk about kindness. And here's my big idea for this morning. This is the one thing I want you to remember after you walk out of this room. Hopefully even Tuesday or Thursday, you'll remember what we talked about. And here's my big idea, and it's on the screen. The big idea is this: a single act of kindness can change everything. Can we all say that together? A single act of kindness can change everything. So we're going to talk about kindness. So what is kindness? Well, here's the challenge about defining kindness, and that is that it's a word that it has overlapping meaning. Meaning, if you looked at kindness in the dictionary, you get all these other words. For example, when I went to look for the word kindness, here's what I found. Kindness also is what? Goodness. Kindness is also mercy. Kindness is also defined as love. Kindness is also defined as grace. Kindness is also defined as compassion and gentleness and tenderness. So what we see here is all these different words help define one bigger word, and the one bigger word is kindness. So all these things that you see on the screen are words to define a bigger word, kindness. It's goodness, mercy, it's love, it's grace, it's compassion, it's gentleness, it's tenderness. We haven't even mentioned it's benevolence, it's favor. I mean, it's an overflowing, rich word, kindness, okay? And here's the thing I want you to hear this morning. We're not going to be very, very long at all, because I know that people have a lot of plans today, and I want to release you out to have a great morning. But here's what I want you to hear, so listen in very carefully. God is the epitome of kindness. God is the perfect example of kindness, okay? And here's why I bring this up, is we live in a culture where there's a lot of people, and there may be some people even sitting in this room today, that you have a difficult time believing that God is all these things. You have a difficult time believing that God is kind. Here's the deal. A lot of times this is how people view God. Next slide. That's a lot of people's view of God, that God is angry, God is upset, that God is mad. And I want to let you know this morning, I want to let you know that we serve a God who is very, very kind. He's loving. He's merciful. He's compassionate. He's gentle. He's big-hearted. That's all those things for you. And what I want to do this morning is I want you to grab your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, the scriptures are going to be on the screen. And I want to give you some biblical evidence today that God is kind. Because I think there's a lot of people, there's this mental block, there's something blocking your view, your perspective of God. And my prayer this morning throughout the week is, God, I pray that you just crash down that wrong perspective of God. Because a lot of people, man, this world, our culture is laying messages on us all the time. False messages of who God is, angry, upset, all these ugly things. And I'm here to today declare that our God is good. Amen? Amen? That our God is kind, that our God is loving. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at three verses this morning, back to back to back. And they're all found in the book of Titus. So if you have your Bible, Titus, it's towards the end of the New Testament. We're going to focus on chapter 3 today. We're going to look at three verses, 3, 4, and 5. And I want to let you know these verses are a beautiful, beautiful picture, a demonstration of how kind God is. So I pray that God will be in these moments, in these next 12 minutes, that God will be in these moments so that we can see clearly how kind God really is, okay? So if you're there, say, I'm there. Okay, if not, just look up. I'm there for you, okay? Here we go, chapter 3, Titus, beginning with verse 3. Paul writing to a younger man in the faith, Titus, okay? He says, we're not going to make it very far because I got to stop there and define who's he talking about. He's talking about people who are now Christians, okay? That's Paul's audience in this letter, people who are now Christians. He says, once we too were foolish, we were disobedient. Check out this one. We were misled. We became slaves to many lusts, many pleasures. He says, our lives used to be full of evil. They used to be full of envy. And on top of that, we hated each other. Okay? So I want to stop here at the end of verse 1. At the end of verse 3, let's not jump ahead. And I want to say something very, very important. In that verse that we just read this morning, Paul is describing a person's spiritual condition without Jesus. Is everybody clear about that? Paul is saying this is the way you used to be. You're no longer this way, but this is the way you used to be spiritually without Jesus, okay? We all know that we're made up of three parts. Every one of us is made up of, we have a flesh and blood body. We're also made up of soul, and we're also made up of spirit. What Paul is doing in this verse is he's talking about your spiritual person. Because how many people know that's the most important part of you? It's not your flesh and blood, but it's your spirit that's most important. And in this verse, Paul is describing your spiritual condition without Jesus. Okay, he says, hey guys, before you came to Christ, I want to let you know you were a slave to sin. And then he lists a handful of those sins. He says, hey, you were full of lust. You were full of pleasure. You were full of evil. You were full of envy. I mean, just a short list, just to get your attention. So what Paul is wanting us to see is that before Jesus, you were in bad, bad shape. Amen? Amen? I want to let you know, before Jesus, or can I even say this, without Jesus, our spiritual condition is this: we're dead. The reality is we're really dead men walking. Yes, we're alive physically, but inside our spirits, without Jesus, we're dead people walking around. Why? Because our spirit is dead. Our spirit is closed to God. There's no relationship. One verse even says we're enemies of God. So Paul is saying, hey, I wanted to get your attention on how kind God really is. But in order to start this journey of kindness, you got to realize what you used to be and what you are if you don't have Jesus. And my heart is this today. It's my heart is that can we have ears to hear today that without Jesus, man, we're in a desperate place. We're in a desperate place. But here's the good news. How many people want to hear the good news? Say, give it to me. Say, give it to me. Okay, let's go. I don't want to camp out on the bad news, but that bad news is the truth, okay? It's important that we know the bad news, the truth. But look at verse 4. Paul begins with a big word, but. Everybody say that together. But. When God, our Savior, revealed, what's the next word? Kindness and what?
Love.
All these words describe kindness. God revealed his kindness and love. Check out what he did because he revealed kindness and love. Check it out. Verse 5, he saved us, not because of the righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy, which is another word for kind, because of his kindness, his mercy. He washed away our sins. He gave us new birth. He gave us new life through the Holy Spirit. So let's review real quickly. Verse 3, remember, someone's spiritual condition without Christ, we are told in Scripture that we are spiritually dead. We're dead men walking. We may look alive. We may look great on the outside. We may be taking care of our bodies. We may look young. We may, all these things. On the outward, it may look good, but without Jesus, we're dead on the inside. We're spiritually dead. But here's the good news. As we turn the table to verse 4 and 5, we see that everything begins to change for our good. We see in verse 4 and 5 that there's this 180-degree turnaround, okay? Meaning those who used to be dead and in prison, enslaved to sin, Now these people are forgiven. How many people are thankful for forgiveness? And here's the deal. Now we're free. And so here's what happened because of God's kindness. Now we have gone from being dead to being alive. So there's actually people walking around. There's two categories of people walking around the planet today, 7 billion people. There's some people that are alive but dead inside. But then there's other people who are alive inside and outside. And that's the way to be. So we've gone from death to life. So here's the deal. How does this happen? How does it happen? Just hang with me just for a few more minutes. How did this whole process happen? Look at verse 4 once again. It says in verse 4 that God revealed his kindness and love. That's the beginning of the journey. Because God is kind and because he is loving. And you say, well, how did God reveal his kindness and love? Get this. Please don't miss this. How did God reveal that he's a kind God? How does God reveal to you and me today that he's kind? How does God reveal to you and me today that he is loving? Here's how he does it. He reveals these things in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. Amen? He reveals how kind he is by sending his son, Jesus. So God demonstrated to us his kindness and love by sending Jesus Christ to earth in human form. Why? To die for our sins. Here's how I picture it. God looks down on broken humanity. He looks down on a humanity that's far away from him. They're in disaster. They're dead. And God looks down at these people, and he is so kind. He's so loving. He's not angry. He's not upset. So out of his kindness, God looks to his son, and he basically says these words, "It's time." Because what we need to remember, God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit existed from the beginning of time in heaven. But now God in his kindness says to his son, it's time for you to go to earth. And that's why we celebrate Christmas every year. We celebrate that Jesus left heaven. He came to earth. Why? Because the kindness of God is that there needs to be a plan. There needs to be salvation that's provided only through Jesus. And that's how kind God is. And I want to let you know, God is not angry. He's not angry, but there's a God who's already demonstrated. He's already shown you how kind he is by sending his son to earth. And here's a verse we all know, most of us know. Let's read it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. I love that. God, out of his kindness, says, I'm going to send my one and only son. Because you need hope. You need help. God is so kind, he says, Mike, I'm going to send Jesus for you. God is so kind, he's going to say, hey, Ray, I'm going to send Jesus for you. God is so kind, he's going to say, Nolan, I'm going to send Jesus for you. You fill in the blank with your name. God is so kind that he reaches down from heaven and says, hey, I'm going to send my son for you, for me, for all of us. For 7.5 billion people, people past, present, and future, God says, I'm not angry, I'm kind, I'm loving. You want proof of it? I'll send my son to die on the cross for their sins. That's how kind God is. And that it brings me back to this point, and it's our big idea. How many would agree that a single act of kindness changed everything? Yes. Would we all agree with that? Yes. A single act of kindness changed everything. God sending his son changed everything. We went from being dead to being made alive. We went from being enemies in hostility with God to now being friends. And as we sang in our last song today, children of God. Why? Because a single act of kindness, a single act of kindness changes everything. So let me ask you this. Have I persuaded you yet this morning? Come on now. Have I persuaded you yet?
Yes.
Do you believe that God is kind?
Yes.
How did God show his kindness? Somebody tell me.
By sending his son.
You're getting it. God is kind. He sends his son. So let me ask you the most important question of your life. Most important question of your life. Have you responded to God's kindness?
Yes.
We can go one layer deeper.
Yes.
Next slide. Have you responded to Jesus? I mean, God sends his son. He loves you so much. He don't want you to be enemies. He don't want you to be spiritually dead. He doesn't want you to suffer the consequences of slavery and sin. He sends his son. Now, what, now the ball's in your court. It's like God bounce, makes a bounce pass to you. Now you catch the pass. And now you answer the question. How have I responded to this kind gesture? How have I responded to Jesus? Have I? I want you to just think for a second because we're almost done, but I want this moment to be just so powerful this morning. I want you to ask yourself, how have I responded? Have I responded to kindness? Have I responded to God's gift of his son? Have I? Have you done this? Have you made it personal? Have you done this? I mean, I'm not talking about have you gone to church. I'm not talking about your family of origin. I'm talking about you personally, one-on-one, personal relationship with God. Have you responded to God's kindness? Have you responded to Jesus? And you're here today and you might say, well, I'm not sure. How do you do that? We're very basic this morning. I actually had a message that I really wanted to preach. I was so full of fire for this message. But every time I would pray about it, this word kindness, God kept saying, you need to talk about this morning. So my thought here is that there's somebody that needs to hear this message this morning. I think there's a lot of people that need to be reminded, but I think there's maybe one or two specific people today that need to hear this message this morning of the kindness of God. And you're not here by mistake. I believe that God has brought you to this place this morning. And you say, well, I'm not sure. How do you respond? I'm going to give you just a simple, for the next 5 minutes, I'm going to just give you a simple, simple, basic Bible message of how we respond to God's kindness. In the Assembly of God, we call this the ABCs of salvation. How many people have heard of the ABCs of salvation? Here's how we accept the gift of Christ. Letter A. First of all, you start out, you have to admit that you're a sinner. By the way, is that hard for you? I think it's hard for some people. How about you? Is it hard for you to admit that I'm a sinner? I found out it didn't take me long to realize I was a little sinner, a big sinner. How many people know you have children? You don't have to teach your kids not to share. You know what I mean? Why? Because we're born with this sinful nature. First, but that's the first step to accepting Christ and his kindness. You got to come to this place where you just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Look at the verse in Romans 3:10, and then we pick up on verse 23. It says, there's no one righteous, not even one. There's no one. There's no one that has a clear slate. There's no one that's lived a perfect life. There's no one who hasn't fallen into sin. And then verse 23 says, for we have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory. So you're in good company. We have all done this. We have all sinned. And what we need to do is, next slide, we need to ask for God's forgiveness. We need to come say, Lord, forgive me. There's a great verse in Romans 10:3 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what? Saved. Let me ask you a question this morning. Let's get real personal here. Have you called upon the name of the Lord? Can you think back of a time when you realized that you were a sinner? I mean, it just for me, it was fifth grade. The Holy Spirit was upon me in such a powerful way in a service in a Baptist church in Beaver Creek, Ohio, of all places. The pastor preached a message much like this. And I tell you what, the Holy Spirit came upon me in such a powerful way. In little fifth grade, snotty-nosed Mike. The Holy Spirit just showed me that you're a sinner. And there was just this recognition. It wasn't in my thought, but it was the moving of the Spirit in my heart, just revealing to me that, Mike, yeah, you too, you're a sinner. And what you need to do is you need to ask for forgiveness. And that as a fifth grader, I had to call upon the name of the Lord. And I remember for me, that meant at the end of the service, this was the days when they had altar calls. You remember those days, anyone? And I had to run up there as a fifth grade boy in front of all these people. It was embarrassing. But I want to let you know, I wanted to get things right with God. And what I had to do is I needed to come and ask, God, would you please forgive me? I've sinned. And my only hope is not in other things, but my only hope is in you. Because there's salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. Are you hearing me this morning? Then here's what we need to do. B, we got to believe, man. We got to believe in the right thing. Not in your government, not in a church or denomination. You got to believe in Jesus. Amen? Look at what it says. We read the verse already this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes. What are we to believe, by the way? You say, well, what do I believe? Well, you believe that Jesus died. You believe that he was buried. And you believe that he raised again on the third day. That's all talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. We believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So we repent, we ask for forgiveness, then we place our faith in Jesus. The only person who can forgive us of our sins is Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is only, everybody say that together, only in Jesus. Forgiveness is only in Jesus. Only. It's not because you checked off a list that I went to church on Easter, now it's Mother's Day, and I was there at Christmas too, and wow, look at me. No, it's only through Christ. We got to believe that only he can forgive us of our sins. Then look, let's look at the last one before we close this morning. We need to confess that Jesus is our Lord. Let's look at the verse that goes with that. It says, if you confess with your mouth, you make a confession with your mouth, that Jesus is Lord, and you believe where? In your heart that God raised him from the dead. Here's the beautiful message. You will be saved. God's not mad at us today, but God is kind. God is loving. He's so kind and loving, he wants to be in a relationship with you today. God wants to be in a relationship with you. That's how kind and that's how loving he is. And he did everything necessary to make that relationship possible. He sent his son to die for you, to die for me, so that our sins can be forgiven and we could be promised eternal life. And eternal life is it's a quality and it's also a quantity of life. In Jesus, we have eternal life. Amen? Amen. So let's do this. Let's bow our heads. I never get sick and tired of preaching salvation. Amen? Because I tell you what, if we could preach on a whole lot of different things. How to have a better marriage, and I want to have a better marriage. How to raise kids, and I want to raise kids effectively. How to be successful, and I want to be successful. But I tell you what, at the end of the day, this has got to be the groundwork. This has got to be the foundation. Are you hearing me this morning? If you don't have this thing right with Jesus, you're building your house, Jesus said, on sand. And he goes on to say, when the storms of life come, that house is going to fall. Your life's going to fall. But what we need to do is we need to build our life on the rock. And Jesus is the rock. And obedience to his word is the rock. Because here's the deal, storms will come. How many people can testify that storms will come? Tough times will come. But if we will build our life on the foundation of Jesus, we're going to be able to stand and stand strong because we have put our hope in Christ, our hope in Christ. So I just want you to bow your head this morning. I want you to ask yourself this question. Have I responded to God's kindness? Have I responded to Jesus? Have I admitted that I'm a sinner? Have I asked for forgiveness? Have I placed my faith in Jesus? In Jesus. Have I confessed that he is Lord? Have I believed in my heart that God raised him from the dead? This could be the biggest moment in your life. If you've never done that, this could be the day that you could do that. This could be the day that you can remember. Mother's Day 2018 was the day I marked on my calendar that I went from being dead to being made alive. Is there anyone here today that you say, I've never done that? Is there anyone here today that said, I've never done that, but I would love to do that today? Anyone? Anyone? I thought I did. Is there anyone here today you've never taken that step? So Lord, I just pray right now that you'd be in these moments. Lord, I just feel right now there's conviction going on in this room today. I just feel that, God, in your presence. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be at work in our hearts. See, folks, you know what one of my jobs is as your pastor is to plant seed, to water seed. But you know who brings the growth? God. And I believe what I'm doing today is I'm just planting a seed Or I might be watering a seed that's already been planted. But God's going to bring the growth. So I just pray that you'll hear this message today, that you'll receive it. That you'll receive it. In Jesus' name, and everyone said together.
Amen.